We are back. This is Martin's Man Cave, the 80th episode with former AFP General Victor Corpus. Earlier on, before we took a break, we were about to discuss his ideologies, how he turned from a devout Catholic student, and how he moved to the Philippine Military Academy, and from the PMA, how he was able to imbibe that ideology and culture of the people back then who struggled against the government. Sir, tell us how it developed.
Okay. Nag-umpisa yan sa Lasal. I was able to enter Lasal by accident, literally. I was enrolled by my parents in a in the post school in what was then called Fort William McKinley, that became Fort Bonifacio, because my father was a military officer, a military doctor. And so I started my kindergarten in the military, what they call post school, for the sons and daughters of military officers. But in one of the playgrounds that I was enjoying then, while playing in the playground, there was that slide that you climb and then slide down. But instead of sliding down, the one following me was maybe in a hurry, he pushed me. And instead of sliding down, I fell to the ground, from the top of the slide to the ground, and lost consciousness. And I only woke up when I was already in the hospital. And because of that incident, my mother pulled me out of the school and made me to stop studying in that school. And they decided to enroll me in La Salle. That was an elite school at the time, and very few military children of military personnel are able to study in that kind of school, because the tuition is quite
high, expensive. Very high. I only know one more famous military guy who went to La Salle. Antonio Trillanes. Parece que yo rebelde. Anyway.
So I joined the, I was able to study in La Salle. And despite the fact that my father then was only a captain, then became a major, but they had to sacrifice a lot to be able to send me there. So I really thank my parents for that, because I learned a lot from La Salle. The moral upbringing, my moral upbringing was all because of my education in La Salle. And I really value it. I remember when I was already leaving for the PMA at that time, one of my teachers then, Brother Bonaventure Richard. I remembered what he told me. He wished me luck, but he said that the Philippine Military Academy can either make you a man or destroy you. So he sent me off to PMA. Fortunately, in high school, I was in section 3. Kasi A, B, C, D eh.
Mm-hmm.
I was in section C. But on my fourth year, I really exerted all effort to study. And I was able to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually graduated number 3 in the whole class. I was given the bronze medal for general excellence.
Uh-huh.
Hindi lang binigay sa akin yung valedictorian dahil
humabol ka na lang.
Huli na.
Muli na lahat.
So after high school, immediately I went to PMA. With that background, yung religious background.
Catholic, strong Catholic.
Strong Catholic mm-hmm. background and American tutelage. Mm-hmm. Kasi puro, most of my teachers then were American brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So, on my second year sa PMA, there was this teacher of mine, history teacher. Oh, third year. This was already my third year. Our history teacher was a very nationalistic and very passionate teacher. He had a doctorate in a Canadian university.
Mm-hmm.
This was Major Cesar Pobre. And in our history lessons, this teacher was constantly attacking church practices. Yung katulad ng mga ano ni mga adventures ni Father Damaso. Padre Damaso.
Okay.
Yung kay Rizal. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then he was also very anti-American. Yung quote and quote.
Uh-huh.
And because of my upbringing na American teachers, yung mga American brothers yung nagturo sa amin, and yung religious background nga, every time na this teacher of mine attacks the church or attacks the American, I was one of those who were first to argue with my teacher, to question yung kanyang tinuturo. But every time I try to refute yung kanyang mga presentations, lagi akong napapahiya sa harap ng klase. Dahil my arguments were all based on emotion eh.
Mm-hmm.
Asia, historical facts.
Mm-hmm. Logic.
No? Because I was not aware of that portion of our history. Kasi iba yung turo sa aming, iba yung history ni Saide dun sa history ni Agoncillo eh, di ba? So, so every time I stand up to view my to express my opposition, I was always being humiliated in front of the class. So nga, based on emotion yung ano eh, yung aking arguments.
Argumento. Mm-hmm.
So what I did was to back up my arguments, I became a regular visitor sa library. Every free time, I run to the library and do research. But the more I read, and the more I knew, the more I realized that what my teacher was saying were the truth, historical facts. You cannot argue with historical facts. But because our relationship became, well, I don't know if the word, the right word is antagonistic, but there's antagonistic with love, no? Hindi ako na-convince dun sa kanyang kuan, so to take his side. Basically, yun nga, I want to protect my kuan eh, yung natutunan ko from grade school to high school. All of a sudden, ma-re-reverse. But on my fourth year, there was this another teacher of mine. Mag-classmate sila sa PMA. I think they were class 52. Mm-hmm. There was another doctorate professor, Major Dante Simbulan at that time, who yung kanyang style hindi ano eh hindi malumana yung ano, but when he speaks you listen to every word that comes out of his mouth. Magaling yung presentation and very calm but very penetrating. Mm-hmm. He wrote a thesis on Philippine society. Ang thesis niya that Philippine society is like a pyramid. That on top, you have 0.1 of 1% or 100 families controlling practically the entire wealth of the country. Controlling land, most of the land, which is the basic means of production. And this elite few not only controls economic power, but they also control political power. Because economic power begets political power. And they use this political power that they monopolize to protect and preserve the interest, their class or their narrow class interest. Where does that put us? Kasi this economic elite control the instrumentalities of government and use it to preserve and protect their narrow vested interests. And where does that place the armed forces? Because one of the instrumentalities of government is the armed forces, the police, the courts, that this economic and political elite
control
and use for their own narrow or vested interest. Mm-hmm. So, ang lumalabas dyan, kung from our point of view, is that the elite are just using us not really in the service of the people, but in the service of this elite few. Mm-hmm. Ganun magiging feeling mo. Based on that
theory.
So, doon nag-umbisa yung aking kumbaga kamulatan kung sa Tagalog or enlightenment na we are not really serving the interest of our people but we are serving the interest of a chosen few in our society or the vested interest of a narrow narrow class. Mm-hmm. some examples of this, when we graduated, I'll give you some examples mm-hmm. that really convinced me that we are just a tool of the elite for their own narrow interest. Okay, one of that is when I was assigned in the Special Forces, Philippine Constabulary, I came from the Army. After our Special Forces training and airborne training, I suddenly received an order saying that I'm being transferred to the PC, Philippine Constabulary at that time. So I said, I didn't want to enter the Philippine Constabulary. Why are you ordering me to go there against my will? So I requested General Headquarters to transfer me to the Philippine Navy instead, if they want to transfer me. But my request was denied. So I was assigned to the Special Forces of the Philippine Constabulary. At that time, the head was Orlando Dulay. I think he was a captain or major at that time, a major. And one of our first assignment was to train the new airborne and special forces training that we will supervise. Mm-hmm. And when I later found out that the people that we are going to train are people from the private army of Congressman Ablan at that time, private army. So, doon na reinforce yung perception ko na ginagamit lang kami ng mga naghahaling uri para for their own selfish interest. Mm-hmm. Why are they going to use us to train goons? Actually, they were goons, mga private armies. And the funny thing is that their firearms are more modern than the firearms in the armed forces.
More sophisticated.
We were only using Garand at that time, carbine and Garand. Mm-hmm. They were already using M14 and M16 and M79. So, yun. And then, what kind of orders missions do we get? Patayin mo si ganito, patayin mo si ganyan.
Ganon, ha?
To give you one example, i-edit mo lang to yung mga kwan, medyo mm-hmm. sensitive.
Biblip na lang natin.
Kasi, may maano pa dyan eh.
Biblip na lang natin. No?
Pero ikikwento ko na lang sa'yo lahat. Mm-hmm. Tapos i-edit mo na lang sige. Yung mm-hmm. mga hindi pwede.
Sige.
Okay. Isang mission na binigay sa amin, kasi isang piyesta sa Pamplona, Cagayan, yung mayor doon, nagpapaputok ng baril. Mm-hmm. Yung sa ere.
Indiscriminate firing.
Mm-hmm. Sinita siya nung dalawang tao namin. Marami siyang mga bodyguard. Nung sinita yung mayor, pinaligiran yung bodyguard yung bodyguard niya, pinaligiran yung tao namin. And then, nawala na lang yung tao namin. Yung pala, linibing na nila.
Diyos ko po.
Okay. So, itong CEO namin, nung nalaman yung ganon, they sent mga special forces teams to hunt down the mayor. Oh. And then, isa ako doon sa pinadala na patayin yung mayor.
Uh-huh.
But alam ko naman yung illegal order sa ano. Siyempre, I did not
participate.
Instead, ang natagpuan ko doon yung unang naging girlfriend ko. Isang doktora sa Pamplona, Cagayan. I fell in love with si Wilhelmina or Wilma Aquino.
Mm-hmm. Ibang putukan yun.
So, I almost got married to her. Although, nagpaalam muna siya na mag-specialize sa US. We were already engaged to get married. Eh, sabi niya, dalawang taon lang, I will specialize on my, yung kanyang kwan sa pagka...
Medicine.
Mm-hmm. And then, come back after 2 years. Eh, at that time, meron ng first quarter storm. And so,
nabaling na atensyon. Nakuha
ko naman yung, nung nagpunta siya sa Kwan, sa States, nabaling naman yung atensyon ko kay Melly dun sa yung mga aktivista. So, iniisip ko kung, since I was already decided on what to do. Uh-huh. Kasi sabi ko, I will devote my life to the effort in changing our status quo.
The struggle.
Or changing our, what I see as a rotten system. Mm-hmm. Because yung nakita ko dun sa ano, kasi, so yun nga, yung mga order na binibigay sa amin, yung ganyan nga, patayin si ganyan. Mm-hmm. Dun nga sa unit namin nag-umpisa yung mga salvaging eh.
Doon na uso.
Special Forces, yeah.
Doon na uso.
Yeah.
And that was
1968. 69. Ganun, nag-umpisa. Mm-hmm. Yan, yung Jabida affair. Kasi yung mga members ng Jabida, mga roommates ko, they were inviting me to join the Jabida.
Sila, no?
Sina, ano yan?
Yung head to si Martin.
Abadilla. Sina...
Kabats mo si Abadilla.
Oh, 2 years ahead sa akin.
Oh, pero roommates mo sa...
Roommates ko sa Special Forces.
Uh-huh.
So, when they come back from their mission, nagkikwentuhan kami. So, alam ko lahat yung nangyayari dun sa kanilang mission.
Corridor.
Mm-hmm. Pwede bang talakayin dito yan?
Pwede naman. No.
Oh, ikaw nang bahalang mag-edit, no? Kasi this is history eh.
Water under the bridge na yan.
And you cannot hide from history.
Oh, in fact, si Colonel din, si Martellino ba yan?
Oh, Colonel Martellino.
Oh, umis ka po siya eh.
Oh.
Nawala.
Ang nangyari dyan, gusto nating get back Borneo. North Borneo,
mm-hmm.
di ba?
Mm-hmm. Sabah.
Sabah.
Mm-hmm.
So, nag-organize itong Jabida na mga Muslims.
Mga tausog. Mm-hmm.
Headed by mga PMA, mostly mga PMA Special Forces trained.
Mga kasamahan mo?
Yeah. Kasama ko doon sa Special Forces.
Mm-hmm.
Buti na lang, hindi ako napasama.
iba yung nangyari, nautos.
Ang plano nila is to infiltrate Sabah and i-edit mo na lang to dahil ayokong lumabas dahil it might affect our foreign relations mm-hmm. with Malaysia. But ang nangyari is that this is history. Kung madidigap yung nangyari sa kwan sa although hindi ako napasama doon sa corridor,
mm-hmm.
but sila yung mga kakentuhan ko, kainuman ko, mga kabarkada. Ang nangyari, they put on Malaysian uniforms, they commit atrocities in Sabah. They commit massacres. Ang isang kwento na natatandaan ko, yung ilalagay sa sako yung isang buhay na ano, bubuhusan ng gasolina, sisindihan, mga ganun. Those kinds of atrocities. Para to blame it on the Malaysian government. Kasi naka-Malaysian uniform eh. Eh, nag-revolt, Muslim participants were revolted with what they were doing to their fellow Muslims. So, some of them wanted out. But in that kind of mission, hindi ka pwedeng matras. Eh, kumampisa kanila, si Lieutenant Nepo Moseno, isang classmate ni Abdilia, kinampihan yung mga Muslim. Dahil nga, they were revolted with what they were doing. So, pati siya, pinatay.
They were training during that time,
Corregidor.
So the Operation Merdeka did not push through.
Hindi, pero naka-infiltrate na sila.
Naka-infiltrate na?
Oo, bumabalik dun, kasi nandun yung kampo nila sa Corregidor.
So that's the part of history that was not mentioned?
No.
That's the missing part of history?
Yes.
Na hindi pala siya. Because I made a story. I produced a story with TV5 about the Operation Merdeka. And according to the historians, they were training at Corregidor, and before they even launched the operation, nag-revolt. So meaning hindi natuloy yung
natuloy sila dahil kausap ko yung mga taong involved. Eh. Kainuman ko, kabarkada ko. And they were trying to convince me to join.
You were disillusioned.
Okay. Yung mga ganun ba? And then another, kwansa, nung nasa service ko, gusto kong ipakita sa iyo yung perception ko na ginagamit lang kami bilang kasangkapan ng a narrow vested interest in our society for their own ano. Isa pa, remember the yung Bantay incident, yung sinunog yung dalawang barangay sa Bantay, Ilocos Sur, ng mga grupo ni Crisologo. Okay. Kami yung pinadalang mag-investigate doon. Kami yung kumuha doon mga, yung company ko, yung kumuha doon sa mga victims, dinala namin dito sa Ateneo, UP. Yung to protect them. Doon kami nagkakilala ni Edgar Hobson. Okay. So after that incident, I requested na magturo na lang ako sa PMA dahil yun nga, na-involve ako dun sa kuha ng Ilocos. Kasi si Crisologo, Congressman Crisologo, ang nag-recommend sa akin na nag-sponsor sa akin sa PMA. Okay, I represented his district sa PMA, sa Ilocos. So, when I was teaching in the PMA, itong ang klase nila Onasan, class 71, I was very vocal in denouncing yung na-experience ko doon. No, yung burning ng 2 barangays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. umabot sa kaalaman ni Congressman Crisologo that I was denouncing yung Juan. Pero ang umabot sa kanyang istorya, nadagdagan na that I wanted to kill him. So, I received a notice to report to the office of the Congressman Crisologo at that time, together with my mm-hmm. father, who was the Army Surgeon General at that time. And our superintendent in Philippine Military Academy, si General Ugalde. Mm-hmm. Pisopitlo, doon sa office ni Congressman Crisologo. And then, sabi ni, when we entered the office, lahat ng bodyguard ni Congressman nasa likod niya. Tapos, when we approached, Congressman Crisologo started raising his voice, saying, in Ilocano, no? Ano itong, what is this? I heard that you wanted me assassinated. That the question directed to me.
Mm-hmm.
Pinsan ko pa naman itong tatay mo. Sabi niya, why are you allowing your son to do this to me? Directed to my father. And you, sabi kay General Ugalde, yung superintendent namin sa PMA, if not for me, you wouldn't have gotten your star. Why are you allowing your officers to plan my assassination? Of course, I denied because there was no truth to that accusation. I was denouncing what they did, but not planning to assassinate him. Siguro na dagdagan na yung mga istorya na umabot sa kanya. So, akala niya, gusto ko siyang papatay. So, I denied. 1 week after, he was shot inside the church in Bigan, Ilocos Sur. Congressman Floro Crisologo. Hindi ako ngayon yung suspect. I was thinking that General Ugalde, because he was there when Floro Crisologo was accusing me of planning to assassinate him, mm-hmm. and then 1 week after, he was shot in the church. I was waiting to be arrested. At that time, we have already finished planning the PMA raid, yung armory raid ng mga baril doon sa armory.
Mm-hmm.
Ang speculation ko, General Ugalde maybe thought that I really did it. So, natakot siyang sabihin na, si kagagawa niya bigyan, baka mamaya siya naman ang ano, isunod. So, he kept quiet. And so, the PMA raid in the armory, December 29, 1970, pushed through. Kung inaresto ako at that time, that was mga November when he was killed, hindi sana natuloy yung PMA raid.
Mabagal. Mabagal yung pag-aresto sa'yo.
Yun ang sinasabi ko nga na yung paggamit ng economic and political elite natin sa mga instrumentalities of government, and one of them is the armed forces and the police for their own self-interest.
So one thing led to the other. 1970, natuloy yung raid, and that was the new chapter of your another new chapter of your career, of your life in the military.
Marami pang mga example dyan eh.
Mm-hmm.
Kasi kami, ginagamit kami sa anti-strike. Pag mag-strike yung mga manggagawa, tatawagin kami nung owner ng kwan, tulungin naman nyo kami. So, sino kakampihan namin? Yung owner ng pagawaan laban doon sa mga manggagawa. Pag nag-alsa yung mga magsasaka sa Central Luzon, oh, sinong tatawagin? Tatawagin ng armed forces. Pero because of the exploitation of the landowners against the one, kaya nagre-rebelde yung mga farmers. So, makikita mo na the elite, that strengthened my belief that the elite is just using us as their instrument to protect and preserve their narrow vested interest.
When we
against the interest of the people that we are supposed to serve.
The majority.
The majority.
When we come back, let's talk about the new chapter inside the Communist Party of the Philippines after that raid. You're still inside Martin's Man Cave here on podcast.ph. This is the 80th and the most exciting episode for this year, 2016. In fact, the first episode for 2016. Kasama pa rin po natin si former AFP General Victor Corpus. We'll be right back. Don't go away.